Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 3. We're starting a brand new chapter. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 9. 1 through 9. And so I need your attention once again on the screen right up here. And let's go there. And I've entitled this evening's message, Sons and Daughters of the Faith. Sons and Daughters of the Faith. And my friends, this picks up in the book of Galatians once again, where Paul had an issue with the Judaizers. There's always going to be some sort of silly doctrine that will come into play and try to confuse the saints of God. But praise God that God raised up during this time. God raised up men like the Apostle Paul, Peter, and John, and James, and many of the original apostles that came and preached the Word of God unadulterated without factoring any kind of Judaism. Because it's not about Judaism. It's about the new man. You and I have been born from above. The Bible says that unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And you and I, because of God's grace, because of the providence of God, he has chosen you before the foundation of the world. He has chosen me. And God has elected us. Praise God. And now we are appointed, approved. Hallelujah, thank you, God, to do the will of God. You and I are the called out saints. And I'm excited. Why? Because you and I are the mouthpiece. We're the ones that will bring the peace of God, the good tidings of God to men and women around our world. You see, you and I have been given a sphere of influence. In other words, there's people in your life that I will probably never meet in mine and vice versa. But there's a sphere of influence around each one's life. And you and I are called for such a time as this. This is our assignment to preach, to teach, to testify, to win souls to the Lord. Why? Because we saw last Sunday a glimpse of the teachings of Pastor Mark Biltz of El Shaddai Ministries during the prophetic conference in Tennessee. We showed that Sunday night, and my goodness, we're right there. We're right there. If you're looking at the Hebrew calendar, not the Gregorian, God is letting us know the time is close. The time is close for the soon return of the King. How many can't wait? Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to meet Jesus face to face. Praise God. Why? Because you and I are going to be so tremendously blessed. We will be able to be in the presence of God without being consumed by His glory. You remember during the time of Exodus, and Moses went up to Mount Sinai. He saw the burning bush, and God spoke and said, Moses, take off your sandals. This is holy ground. And then Moses was about ready to look upon God, and God said, Moses, turn. Don't look at me, for the day you look at me, you will be consumed. Well, my friends, when Jesus comes and changes us in the twinkling of an eye, we'll have the brand new body, and we'll be able to be in the presence of Almighty God. Hallelujah. The glory of God will fill the heavens, and we'll be able to see Him face to face without being consumed. And I can't wait. How many can't wait to be in His presence? How many can't wait to glorify Him and magnify Him? Well, my friends, hang on. Hang on. It's around the corner. God's about ready to return. So that gets me all excited for this evening's Bible study. And so Turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 9. And let's read. And the Word of God reads, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Ooh, that's a great question, isn't that? Verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? We're going to talk about that. Verse 4, have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain, therefore he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Praise God. Verse 6, just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. What a key verse, saints of God. That is so key. Let me read that one more time and we'll continue to go on. Just as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Look at this. Verse 7, therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Wow, wow. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. I want you all to repeat that with me. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Praise God. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that, saints of God? Huh? So let's break this down. Let's go to verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before eyes, Jesus, look at this, whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among as crucified. Wow. Wow, my friends. This is going to be a really good study. Oh, that's right. You see, in chapter 1, verse 11, Paul had called the believers in Galatia friends. And in this verse, he used as much more impersonal Galatians to address his converts. You see, my friends, he preceded it with a strong adjective reprimanding their behavior, that they were foolish. Oh, that's right. They were foolish. You see, saints of God, the Greek word does not mean that they were mentally deficient. No, not at all. Rather, it suggests the behavior of people who are intelligent yet are not using their intelligence to perceive the truth. And the same Greek word is used throughout the Word of God, is used in Romans, in Luke, in Timothy. Oh, that's right. I got scriptures to back that up. Let's look at this right here. Let's look at the first scripture right here. Look at this. In Luke 24, 25, then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Let me pause right there. Saints of God, the way to walk in the obedience of Christ, we have to look at it in one perspective only, walking in faith. Believing God's word in faith. Listen, here's a quick little illustration. Let's just say someone goes to work, doesn't have a car, but takes a bus pass. And so they go to that one bus stop every day, and it picks them up at 5:45 a.m., Monday through Friday. So this person, knowing already that at 5:45 a.m., that bus is going to show up, going to get on the bus, and take them to work. Well, that's the faith that we have to have in that illustration. Believing God without second guessing. Believing God without doubting. Believing God that what it is written, it is so. It is truth. But man comes in with his own theological indifferences and tries to contort, tries to confuse, tries to impute their intellect. And this book is not about intellect. It's about the Spirit of Christ walking in faith, believing what God has done. Let's look at this next verse of Scripture right here, found in Romans 1:14. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. What was Paul saying? That means he was indebted to both of them, to the Greek and to the unwise and to the wise. You see, my friends, in the kingdom of God, there's no big I's and little U's. Praise God. Look at the next verse of Scripture that I found in 1 Timothy 6:9. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Okay, so God is saying there are so many different directions to go, but we must believe that the Word of God is true, and it's absolutely true. Praise God, praise God. Let's look at this next verse of Scripture I found in Titus 3. Look at this. For we ourselves were once also foolish. Look at this. Disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. We were all there at one time like that, saints of God. But see, going back to this writing in the book of Galatians, Paul had shifted from believing in the death and resurrection of Christ for salvation to believing that they must obey the law in order to fully be fulfilled. And we found out through his teachings that is a falsehood. The Judaizers thought that you had to earn your salvation. Let me just say this, my friends. God has already completed the task of coming down from glory, dying on a hideous cross, shedding his blood for you and I, was buried, rose again, and now is sitting at the right hand of his Father. And the great exchange was on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came. And now it has been deposited in our mortal being, the Holy Spirit, by faith. And that's through the washing of the blood of the Lamb of God. Praise God, praise God. So the gist of this message is we cannot earn anything. It's already done. But when you learn to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, and you learn to love your neighbor as yourself, then all the laws come into play, because that's where God's grace is, that we will love the Lord thy God. You see, saints of God, such illogical thinking implied that Christ, what, died for nothing. Let's look at this. That Christ died for nothing. That's a falsehood. He died for you and I. He died that we would have eternal life. He had to die and rise again. But see, the Judaizers threw in something totally different during the days of Paul in Galatia. You see, my friends, Paul sarcastically thought that perhaps a magician had cast an evil spell on them. You see, the Galatian believers had become fascinated by the false teachers and the arguments, almost as though they had been hypnotized. Oh, that's right. How else could this nonsense be explained, my friends? You see, he was questioning not their intelligence, but their lack of discernment. Can I get an amen in the house? It's about discernment. And the only way you're going to have keen discernment is through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, they were being fooled by arguments that they should have been able to refute. Paul's preaching of Christ crucified was so clear and vivid, it was almost as if they had seen it with their own eyes, as if Paul had shown them a signboard with a picture on it, saints of God, of Christ done on the cross. You see, my friends, by turning their eyes from the cross to the law, they were confusing the very simple facts of salvation. Praise God, praise God. So now, let's go on now to verse 2 in Galatians chapter 3. It says, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of the faith? Wow. Wow. Did you catch that, saints? Did you catch that? You see, to rectify the Galatians' confused thinking, my friends, Paul returned to the basics. Four simple questions in the following verses will reveal their foolishness. Oh, that's right. Because they were foolish. But look at the scriptures that I found here. Look at this right here. Found in Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. You see, when the preached word that's anointed by the Holy Spirit hits the ears of the human intellect, then God gives illumination. God destroys that wall. God makes a breakthrough. Can I get an amen? So that the spirit man can hear clearly what thus saith the Lord is saying to us. Praise God. You see, God had to get past our hardened heart. And when he quickened us, he allowed us to turn to the cross. How many times throughout your life before you became saved, you would reject the grace of God? You would say, hey, you know what? That's good for you, but that's not good for me. I'm glad you found Jesus. You ever find people say, I'm glad you found Jesus. Oh, there's so many people like that. Friends, family members, we get that. But Christ had to die and rise again. And then the great exchange sent the Holy Spirit so that we could be born again, so that we could discern. Discern. God knew confusion would come. But God prepares us. God equips us. God protects us. God anoints us. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You see, my friends, Paul's first question was the most basic, for it focused on how their Christian life had begun. The Galatians' shift to follow the law for salvation was completely contrary to their initial experience of the Christian faith at Paul's preaching. So he asked simple questions. Look at this right up here. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by keeping the law? That's a great question, huh? No, you don't receive the Holy Spirit by keeping the law. You receive the Holy Spirit by faith. You see, my friends, the Galatians had accepted the gospel and had received the Holy Spirit. And we find that in chapter 4, verse 6 later on. Now, did this happen because they obeyed the law or because they believed the gospel Paul preached to them? That's the question, my friends. You see, the Galatian believers, mostly Gentile in background, listen, they didn't even have or know the law. So the answer was painfully obvious. Their salvation began by faith. Law-keeping had nothing to do with it, praise God. Aren't you so blessed? You don't have to wake up with the do's and don'ts. I know there's many churches that have do's and don'ts. You got to look this way. You got to dress this way. There's a certain look. Your hair has to look this way. Men don't have no hair on their face. Blah, 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 blah. All that man-made rules. And the moment you miss one of them, they think you've lost your salvation. Wow. Wow. Oh, that's right. Listen, flee from those organizations. That's right. They're no different than the Judaizers, making up all these rules and regulations. Listen, God, all by himself, will keep us. Can I get an amen? Oh, that's right. You see, my friends, Paul mentioned as an indisputable fact that the Holy Spirit came upon the Galatian believers only after they had believed the message Paul had told them about Christ. It was the preaching of the word, the anointed word that Paul had. He was highly anointed, praise God, filled with the Holy Ghost and power. And listen, when ministers of the gospel preaches the word that's anointed by God, God will give you ears to hear and eyes to see. Oh, yes. Then a change will take place. The heart, hallelujah, will receive. And guess what? Once it receives, then God will take your heart and mold it and shape it, hallelujah, according to the righteousness of Christ. Praise God. You see, my friends, the apostle Paul, he could point to their reception of the Spirit at the time of their conversion as proof that God had accepted them. That's right. They were born again. Many of them were filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Oh, yes, there was a supernatural event that took place then, and it still happens today. And so God accepted them based solely on their acceptance of the gospel message, my friends. God's Spirit had been within them long before the Judaizers had entered the scene. Praise God. So let's move on to verse 3 in Galatians chapter 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Saints, I'm here to let you know, there is no good thing in our flesh. When Paul got saved, he found out right away, saints of God, that there was a war in his members. You see, before his salvation, he was Saul of Tarsus. This guy was one of the great rabbis of the day, taught under the feet of Gamaliel. Oh, that's right. He was from the line of the tribe of Benjamin. This man had knowledge and wisdom of the law. And he would be above the mediocre. He'd be above the peasants. He'd be above the middle class, sort of say. He would walk with that type of pride and authority until he got saved. And when he got saved, he counted it all as dung. Why? Because he found out that stuff would not get him into heaven. He could not take that stuff into heaven. Praise God. The only thing that we're going to take into heaven is our brand new bodies empowered by the Holy Ghost. Can I get an amen? You see, saints, the Galatians had started their Christian lives in the Spirit. So why would they now try to become perfect by their own human effort? It doesn't make sense, does it? It doesn't make sense. Look what Paul wrote here to the Romans right here in Romans 8, 6 through 11. Look at this. For to be carnally minded is death. Did you catch that? Meaning to be in the flesh is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Look at that. There's a war against the Spirit of God in our flesh. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Listen, we all struggle in our flesh. We get that. And there's things that we do in our flesh, it doesn't please God. But this is why God, praise God, in the foreknowledge and the wisdom went before us. And now we have an advocate. Who is the advocate? He's our attorney, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that when we do sin, we confess our sin to him, and he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to forgive us of our iniquity. Aren't you so blessed? It's an ongoing faith that God has placed within every believer, that we could come to him daily to be washed and to be cleansed. Can I get an amen? Praise God. There's churches that will condemn you. There's churches that will ostracize you. But I'm here to let you know that the power of God who raised up Christ will also keep you. The power of God will cleanse you. The power of God will sanctify you. The power of God will protect you and empower you to speak truth. Hallelujah. To anoint you, to appoint you, and to approve you. Can I get an amen in the house? Somebody got to give God a shout of praise because Jesus did it all at the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Let's move on to this verse of scripture right here. Let's go to verse 9. Look at this. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Praise God. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is what? Dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of the righteousness of Christ. His righteousness, not ours. Look at verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit. Notice capital S, Holy Spirit, who dwells in you. That's the key. That's the key, saints of God. Without the power of the Holy Ghost living in us, no one will be able to enter into the kingdom of God. We need the Holy Spirit deposited in our being. And the only way that takes place, a man and a woman has to repent, be sorrowful for their sin, turn to God, ask God for forgiveness of sin. Then once repentance takes place, now God connects with us, then he applies his blood, the blood of Jesus, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all of this sin from Adam. Once that takes place, now the Holy Spirit can live in our being. Oh, that's right. Why? Because now it's living in a holy vessel, sanctified by God, covered by the blood. You see, the blood covers us, and in the center of our being, because the blood is like a shelter, the Holy Ghost can dwell in us. Praise God. That's the only way God can dwell with us, where this body, as we just read, is sinful. Wow. You see, my friends, Paul, he highlighted how completely inconsistent it was to receive a gift and then try to earn it. He had heard that those in Galatia were attempting just that, trading freedom in that we have in Christ to slavery and tradition. Wow, wow. So let's move on, saints of God, to verse 4 in Galatians chapter 3. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. Wow, Paul goes on with clarity about this. Oh, that's right. Saints, Paul's next question asked the Galatians to apply their past experience to their immediate situation. You see, the words "you have suffered so much for the good news" probably included actual suffering at the hands of non-believers. Oh, that's right. That's right. Well, look at Saul of Tarsus. Paul, look at the crimes. Look at the pressure. Look at the anxiety that Saul of Tarsus did when he was doing house invasions, apprehending the believers before his conversion. Just imagine what they had to go through during that time. That was serious persecution, being burnt at the stake, being crucified on the cross, being thrown to lions during the Roman games. You see, my friends, Paul and Barnabas certainly had faced great suffering as they preached in the region of Galatia on their first missionary journey. Oh, yeah. Look, we can find this in the book of Acts. Look at this. In Acts 13, 45 through 50, look at this. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming the opposed things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Look how he worded that. Behold, we turn to the Gentiles. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this. In verse 47. For so the Lord has commanded us. Praise God. I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Verse 48. Now, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this. In verse 49 and 50. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region. Wow. Wow. You see, they had to endure persecution. My friends, one day we will too here in this country. We're seeing it already. We're seeing a generation being raised up without God. Every week, weekend after weekend after weekend, there is now mass shootings. Why? Because they did one thing, and it was all planned out by the woke generation. They removed God out of the elementary school, out of the middle school, out of the high school, and out of the colleges. And so now we have a generation of spiritual barbarians. There's no more spiritual authority. So in other words, do whatever your ungodly flesh, this flesh that doesn't want to be saved, this flesh that is evil-minded, just do anything that feels good to you and run with it. And that's what we see in this nation. We're seeing people that don't have a conscience no more. Their conscience is seared with a hot iron. Why? Because it's been ingrained in them since elementary that there's no God. Friends, I need you to hear this clearly. This is the dilemma in our nation. This is why things are so chaotic. But it's a good sign because Jesus said that in the last days, it would be like the days of Lot and Noah. And we're seeing it right now. It's very violent. It's very immoral. It's very wicked. Oh, that's right. And my friends, we're seeing right now, these past 7 years, it was plentiful. We're moving into a brand new seven-year cycle. I believe God is going to show the world this nation's about to go into famine. Oh, that's right. It's about to go into famine. Look at the prices of gas. Three steaks at Costco will cost you $100 now. My friends, I hope you got things set aside, for it's going to get tougher in these next 7 years, starting with Rosh Hashanah this coming September. The DVD that I played last Sunday night with Pastor Mark Biltz of El Shaddai Ministry showed us biblically that it's a brand new seven-year Shemitah cycle, and that this Rosh Hashanah could usher in the tribulation. We're seeing the ungodliness. We're seeing the darkness. We're seeing earthquakes in various places. We're seeing drought here in the West, flooding in the South. We're seeing the chaos in the streets. My friends, fasten your seatbelts. We're going on for a ride. My hope is that God will come and take the church home. How many are praying for that? Praise God. You see, saints, it may be that the new believers during this time in Galatia, each of these cities, they had been treated the same. Are you now going to just throw it all away? In other words, if you are willing to suffer so much for your newfound faith in the hands of the Jews, why would you now turn back to obeying the Jewish laws? You see, my friends, this too was foolish. Even as he said it, he was unwilling to believe it. For he added, surely it was not in vain, was it? Paul did not feel it was hopeless to try to bring the Galatians back to the true faith. Praise God. So let's move on to verse 5. Look at this. Verse 5. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Woo! That's a great question, huh, in verse 5. Praise God. And I think you and I know the answer to that. It's by faith. It's not by works of law. The law cannot save us. The law cannot give us eternal life. What the law did was point us to the cross, that we needed a Savior, that we were so sinful, that we were darkened in our heart and our thinking, our mindset. And this culture that we live in has not changed in almost 6,000 years now. Unless you're born again and illuminated by the power of the Holy Spirit, unsaved people will not discern the times that we live in. Oh, no, they won't. But you and I, God has enlightened us. God has spoken to his prophets. And we know what time it is. Praise God. You see, saints, Paul, he had yet another rhetorical question. Look at this. I believe I have it right here. It says, does God give you the Holy Spirit and works miracles among you because you obey the law of Moses? You see, my friends, the similar question in verse 2 is the past tense, reminding the Galatians of their initial response of salvation and what happened because of that response. This verse, however, is in the present tense, focusing on what God continued to do for the Galatians. He gives his Spirit and works miracles among them every day, every day. Look at this, found in the book of Romans right here. Look at this. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, all this was happening because the Galatians were carefully observing the Jewish law, or because they believed in Christ and proclaimed that opportunity to others. Again, the answer was painfully obvious. God's continual blessings come just as salvation came, through belief in the message that they heard about Christ Jesus, not through the law keeping. Praise God. How many are so blessed that the law couldn't save you? Why? Because if the law saved us, we would have to keep the law and be perfect. And I'm sorry to say, but no one could ever be perfect. You know, there's a bumper sticker I've seen around town, and I love it. You know what it says? It says, Christians are not perfect. They are forgiven. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? We're forgiven. Oh, that's right. We're forgiven by God. And that I'd rather be forgiven than try to perfect anything that I cannot perfect. We strive for perfection, but we will never be perfect in this body of flesh. Can I get an amen? Let's move on now to verse 6 here. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for what? Righteousness. There is the key. He believed God. Saints, the previous questions pointed to the Galatians' experience. Then Paul turned to example from Scripture to support his teaching of salvation by faith alone. Why? For the Jews, there could hardly be a more important and influential person than Abraham, the father of their nation. Praise God. And so, my friends, but how? How did the Galatian Gentiles know about Abraham? Well, it could be that the Galatian converts had heard about Abraham from the Gentile converts to Judaism in the church. And there were many Jews in southern Galatia. Praise God, praise God. You see, to be declared righteous means accepted by God. And you and I have been accepted by God. Raise your hand at home if you know without a shadow of a doubt that you've been accepted by God. Praise God. I know I cannot see your hands, but you can see mine. And when we received Christ, God accepted us by faith. Praise God. Praise God. Abraham, he did not have Moses' law. Praise God. Nor did he have the cross of Christ, the gospel, or salvation as offered in the New Testament. But he was God's servant. Say that with me at home. Abraham was God's servant, acceptable to God, and considered what? Righteous. Because he believed what he knew of God. That's the key, is to believe, to have faith. This is why I entitled the Bible study this evening, The Sons and Daughters of the Faith. We are of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. So let's move on to verse 7. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Whoa, there's a distinction here. There's a distinction here. Oh, that's right. You see, there's a lot of people, even in our day. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I believe the man upstairs. Oh, yeah, I believe. Yeah, I believe in God. Yet you see no faith demonstrated. You don't see the real birth of the Holy Spirit in their being. You see, they have a head knowledge, and that's it. But they've never been born of God. And to be born of God, you have to have that saving faith that God gives to each, every one of his child every day. He gives us a measure of faith. Praise God. Praise God. Ask yourself this. For me, it's been 33 years. Why is it so that every day you wake up in the morning, you're still saved? You still have a mind for God. You still pursue the things of God. Why? Because he has instilled that faith in us to continue to believe. Praise God. Because we're born of him. Wow. Wow, my friends. It's something that we don't like have to remind ourselves. It's not like we have to write down on a note, like having a note, like the president. He keeps a note to remember what he needs to say that day. No, it's birthed in us by the power of the Holy Spirit that we are saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we are heaven bound and a hell to shun. Praise God. How many are so excited that we are soon and very soon, we're going to see the King, saints, the Judaizers, had argued that to be a Christian, a person had to first become a Jew, a descendant of Abraham, and subsequently obey the Jewish laws. That is a falsehood. You see, my friends, Jews, including these Judaizers, were extremely proud of their lineage traced back to Abraham. But my friends, for you and I, let's go back to the same scripture. For I am not, Romans 1, 16 through 17. Paul wrote this. This is for you and I to hide in your heart. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from what? Here's the key. Faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. There it is. We've been justified by faith. Believing that God washed us and cleansed us. Believing that God died and rose again. Believing that God died for you and I by faith. And so because that has now connected with God, God every day gives us that saving faith to believe on Him every day. We don't have to forget about Him. We will never forget about Him. We'll always have that ongoing desire to love Him, to serve Him, to be like Him. He gives that to us. He inbreds it in us by faith. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Man, somebody got to give God a shout of praise because He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. And at the heart of the Jewish salvation theology was the concept of being children of Abraham. Okay, I get that. You see, the Jews believed that they were automatically the people of God because of their heritage. Not so. But from Abraham's own example, Paul showed that the real children of Abraham are all those who put their faith in God, those who believe in Christ and the salvation that He offers. Praise God, praise God. You see, my friends, as Abraham was saved by faith, so each person is saved by faith. As Abraham was declared righteous because of his faith in God, so both Jews and Gentiles who believe are declared righteous because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Belief is the first and only step to salvation. Praise God, praise God. Let's move on to verse 8. In verse 8, we're coming in for a close. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. Did you catch that, my friends? That is so key. That goes all the way back to Genesis. All the way back. Oh, that's right. You see, saints, although Paul had made his point, he added a further devastating application of the scriptures against the Judaizers and their false teaching. Not only are Gentiles and Jews saved by faith, but it was God who planned from the beginning to accept the Gentiles on the basis of their faith. Oh, praise God, praise God. Listen, here it is right here in scripture. Look at this. Now the Lord has said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. Look at this. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Did you catch that? All the nations. That's our nation. That's our generation. Because he believed God. It was imputed, accounted to him as righteous. So he became righteous before God because of his faith. Because he believed. And we have become righteous. The righteousness of Christ by faith. Man, saints of God, what a deal. Look what God has done in our life. It makes me want to cry sometimes to know what God has done for you and I. Beyond our comprehension. Something that you and I could never come up with to get into salvation and be in eternity with Him. You see, God had promised this good news to Abraham. God's promise that all nations will be blessed through Abraham encompassed God's plan for the ages. All nations would be blessed through Abraham because his descendant, Jesus, will bring salvation to all who believe, saints of God. And the blessing promised to Abraham was intended from the very beginning to be given by God to all the nations, not just to the Jews. And this blessing, both to Abraham and to the nations, was promised by God before any laws or works were given or even required. Praise God. Thus, my friends, God would justify the Gentiles, not by works of the law, not by circumcision, but by faith. Salvation is the ultimate blessing, a gift simply to be believed and received. Praise God. And all believers in every age, from every nation, share Abraham's blessings. Praise God. Praise God. So we're going to break down our last verse of scripture in verse 9. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Praise God. Praise God. You see, through the lineage of Abraham came who? Came Jesus. Praise God. Look at this, what I found in Romans 11, 17 through 18. Look at this right here. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive tree, that's us Gentiles. Who were the broken off branches? The Jews that didn't believe. So Paul goes on to explain in Romans, and if some of the branches were broken off, and you, that's you, put your name right there. That's Pastor Fee. That's Sister Yolanda. That's you, all you that are watching and listening, that are believers. You, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, meaning the line of Abraham. Do not boast against the branches, but if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. Wow. Wow. You see, it's all about Jesus. Jesus is the one that saved us. Jesus is the one that sanctified us. Jesus is the one that called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And you need to be thankful. Thankful, my friends. And so, saints, faith did not begin in the New Testament. Rather, it has been the key requirement for all believers from the beginning. God's relationship with his children has always been based on faith. Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, exemplified faith in God even through his faith when it altered many times. Abraham clearly stands out among those before and after him who lived by faith. And all who put their faith in Christ Jesus and in the salvation we have been graciously given to. It was offered to us. We share the same blessing Abraham received. Why? Because of his faith. And our faith hasn't changed when God quickened us and gave us a measure of faith. And so, my friends, while it is true that all nations would be blessed, there is a qualifier. Only the people in those nations who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ would receive the blessing of salvation. That's right. And so, my friends, as we conclude this evening, I am convinced that Jesus is about to return. He's going to return, and he's going to be coming in the clouds, and he's going to take his bride home. And who knows, this fall it could happen. I'm not setting any dates, but Jesus said it would be like the days of Lot and Noah right before his return. And I believe Jesus is coming again. He's going to come and take us home. We're going to hear the trumpet blast. And we're all going to be taken out of here. Oh, that's right. Look what he wrote. Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church. He wrote this. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Look at this. Then we who are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up to be together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always, always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. That's the key. Share the good news. Let your brother and sister that are going through trials right now and hardships and tribulations, comfort them with these words that soon and very soon Jesus is going to deliver us from all this misery, all that we see in this world right now. Oh, that's right. God's coming to take His bride home. And guess what? The next greatest event that this whole woke culture is going to see is Jesus changing us in the twinkling of an eye, and the dead in Christ will rise. And then we're going to be caught up in the twinkling of an eye, faster than the speed of light, changed and transformed, and we will have a body like His. And so this world is going to panic when we're gone. They're not going to have a clue what happened. And so they're going to look for someone to lead them. And that'll be the Antichrist. This is why the Antichrist hasn't shown his face to us yet. Because we'll know. The Holy Spirit is here still. We'll be moved out of the way. And then the tribulation will kick in. And this earth is going to go through some heavy darkness. But guess what? You and I won't be here for that show. Look what it says right here in 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Look at, here it is. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised, what? Incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. Look at this in verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise God. Praise God. I can't wait. How many can't wait for that? It's going to happen soon, saints. But listen, maybe, just maybe, you're watching this for the first time, maybe second time, and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, if you are in unbelief, never been born from above, and refuse the grace of God, when we're gone, don't let this, what you're about to see, happen to you. Let's take a look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for His church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming." I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or He might come next week, or He could even come...
That's always going to be the million-dollar question, my friends. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, one of the key scriptures found in the book of Acts 2,000 years ago still applies today. You see, a lot of people think they could just, "Oh, yeah, I believe in the man upstairs. Oh, yeah, I believe in the Bible. Yeah, I've read it before. Yeah, I know who Jesus is. And yet they don't. They've never been born again. You see, the key for you, if you're watching for the first time, second time, maybe just never giving your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's called repentance. It's called turning from your sin, making an about face to it, and turn to God and ask Him to forgive you. Get baptized in your local church and watch God do the miraculous in your life. He'll cover you with His blood and fill you with His Spirit. But you must repent. You must turn to God. Do what the scriptures say do. Look at this right here, found in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin. That means forgiveness. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For what? For the promises to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Wow. Well, there it is. There it is, my friends. It's real simple. All you have to do is invite them in. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's logged in to pray with me, to pray for you. And if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe this is your divine appointment this evening to do so. So bow your heart and your head and receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Pray this prayer of faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Listen, someone just got saved. Someone just gave their heart to Christ. Listen, if that's you, look at down below. That's our website. Log on. Reach out to us. Our phone number or website is there, our email. We love to put a Bible in your hands and point you and direct you to a church that will teach and preach the unadulterated Word of God. And so you're on your way, my friend, in a new beginning. And I also want to give a shout out to all those who continually bless this ministry. We are so thankful to God. Down below, as you can read, donations are deeply appreciated. And so, my friends, thank you for joining us this evening. And we hope to see you this Sunday at 10 a.m. And we're going to be at 5305 Beautiful Bonita, Sweetwater Road. And I can't wait to see a lot of you. I'm going to be sharing some other things that we learned from the conference. Pray for the message this morning that God will touch the hearts and souls of men and women and children. Praise God. And so on behalf of Sister Yolanda and myself and the Amazing Grace family, I leave you the benediction. And it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. We love you guys. Thank you for joining us this Wednesday. We look forward to seeing you next week again. But I look forward to seeing many of you Sunday morning at 10 a.m. May the Lord bless you and keep you. God bless you now. Bye-bye.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.